Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. If I were to ask any one of you to get me a drink of water, with less than a minute, you would grab a cup, you would go to the nearest faucet, and I would have a cup of water in seconds. We take water for granted, and how easy it is for us to access water for drinking, cooking, and bathing. You know, I'm a chef, I include the cooking in there. This is not the case in some undeveloped parts of the world, and it was certainly not the case at the time of Jesus. Getting water meant going to a stream or spring or a well that had been dug in the ground, filling containers, and then bringing them home. The local well became a place where people of the community interacted with each other every day. I remember that vividly. Now, I'm a city boy. I grew up in Morocco in a city near Casablanca. But each summer, my mother pretty much shipped me to the countryside to be with my aunt and her family, for reasons that I'll talk about later in another sermon. I was a troublemaker. So, when for the first time at the age of 39, I read the book of John, and I read chapter 4, the Samaritan woman at the well, it brought a lot of memories for me. Because all those young summer times when I went to my aunt, I was at the well. I did go to the well. I accompanied my aunt and then her daughters, because the woman's job actually in the countryside is to go get water. So I did go with them, and I remember that was a place to where all women gathered and then talked about what happened yesterday. They talked about what happened at the supermarket. And they talk about their husbands, and talk about their kids, and talk about everything. This is what Jesus is today. He is at the well. It was such a well, a famous well, Jacob's well, a well used for centuries that our Lord Jesus established contact with the Samaritan women. He used the illustration of water to tell her that he was the water of life. He is the one who quenches the thirst we have to be loved and accepted by God. This morning, as we take a closer look at how Jesus interacted with this woman, we want to think of how he has come into our lives and has convinced us that he is our pure source of eternal life. We also want to learn from his example so that we can do a better job of building bridges to people and in sharing with them Jesus, the water of life. Because the water of life should be shared. We don't sit on it. We don't come to church and experience Jesus and leave here like nothing happens. We should share that. Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob and given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. In fact, you can still visit this famous well if you travel to Palestine in this region between Jerusalem and Galilee. The current well is about 150 feet deep. It has a church over it, and it's tended by Greek Orthodox priests who lower a bucket and then let you drink water from Jacob's well. It still exists today, and then this well is still well and alive today, produces water. Jesus came to the well, tired as he was from his journey. He sat down by the well. It was in the middle of the day. It was noon, and it was hot, around about, let's say, 120 degrees, right? This is August in Oklahoma City, in Oklahoma, more than August. You see how 106 and 110 feels, right? This is 120 and more. So you've got to be thirsty being in this area. Jesus came to the well. He was tired. He sat down by the well. It was the middle of the day. He was hungry. His disciples had gone into town to buy food. He was thirsty. Never did Jesus use his power as God to provide food and water for himself, or even ease the pain and suffering he endures for our sins. In the tired eyes of Jesus and his weary body, you see how much Jesus loves you with an intense personal love. A Samaritan woman arrives at the well to draw water and take it home with her. Jesus asks her, "Will you give me a drink?" She cannot believe what she is hearing. Here is a man talking to her, a man who was a Jew, a man who was a rabbi talking to a woman. He broke all kinds of rules, just like I do as a missionary. When I go home, I take my Bibles with me. I take Bibles to people. If they are ever confiscated, I am confiscated as well at the airport in Morocco. But still, I take them. They never found them. Because you break all kinds of rules for the sake of the gospel. Jesus here is breaking the rules. He's not supposed to be talking to Samaritan women. Because also, there is animosity, there is hatred between the Samaritans and the Jews. Jews and Samaritans did not get along because the Samaritans was half-breeds. People who had intermarried with foreigners planted in the land by the Assyrians 700 years before Jesus was born. They even had their own worship place in Mount Gerizim, which was totally against Old Testament laws, and it said worship could only be carried in the temple in Jerusalem. She is astounded. She said, "You're a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jesus shows us how to build bridges with people. How can we do a better job of building bridges with people? Even people who are not like us or in our comfort zone. You know, hatred was way back then before even Jesus' time. And then we wonder today, how come we have hatred? It's been around. I remember back in the 60s in the South, you remember those signs that were on those fountains that says, "Whites only." That didn't just come just in the 60s. Hatred's been around for a while, even in Jesus' time. If only this woman knew the man to whom she was talking was the Messiah, her Lord and God. Well, dear Christians, see how Jesus begins to reveal himself to her. See how he creates a thirst in her to have him as the water of life. If you know the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water, Jesus answered her. If only people knew that salvation and eternal God and God's unfailing love were a pure gift of God and not something that they can earn on their own. If only the whole world knew who that person was talking to this woman. If only they knew Jesus as not just a tired Jew who needed a drink of water 2,000 years ago, but Lord and God, who came into our world to save us from our sin. If people only knew Jesus, they would ask him the water of life to give them eternal salvation. This Samaritan woman is beginning to sense Jesus has something special to offer. When she heard about living water, She thought of cold, fresh spring of water bubbling up out of the ground. How could this mysterious stranger, this Jew, this starved and hungry Jew, offer her such water? Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water, sir? Jesus did not even have a bucket and a rope. Did Jesus think he was greater than Jacob, who dug this well? A well that gave water to generations of people and flocks and herds? Everyone talked about the good water from Jacob's well. It made the area famous, and then Jesus claims he has something better to offer. How could he make such a claim? All this going on in her head and the head of many. Jesus pursues this lost woman with his love for all people, pointing to the well, to Jacob's well, that famous well that has watered thousands of people for many generations. Jesus says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. If you drink a bottle of water, you will have to drink more water later in the day. Experts saw we should drink 8 glasses of water a day. Nothing in this life lasts, whether it is water, whether it is food, health, or even the good we try to do. Nothing lasts. Only Jesus can offer us something that lasts forever. Only Jesus can create in us a living faith that springs up inside of us, that lives in us, as our Savior lives in us as well, and allows us to live forever. In John 7, Jesus told the people in Jerusalem, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him. Has anyone here ever seen a spring bubbling up from the ground with fresh water? I'm sure you have. If you had such a spring on your property, you could dump loads of dirt on it, and eventually the water will find its way through the dirt and then start bubbling up again, all over again. So it is with Jesus. You can have the worst week in your life here on this earth, but still bubbling up inside of you is an amazing spring, Jesus, the water of life. You can dump 1,000 dump trucks full of problems and troubles on this love of God that Jesus has earned for you, and still it bubbles up and finds its way in your life. Nothing in all creation will ever separate us from the love of God that exists in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It makes me want to cry. I cry all the time. I am a lamenting pastor, because it's overwhelming when at the age of 39, you finally find love. You didn't have it, and you wonder about that love. There is a pastor, another lamenting pastor that I found. He's in our church, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Edmond. His name is Breckage, Pastor Joshua Breckage. When I found him, I said, thank the Lord, I'm not the only one who cries during sermons. That guy is hilarious. That guy is more than me. But again, you can't help but cry. I know some of us shed tears on the outside, and a lot of us shed tears on the inside. It's all good, because the love of Christ is worth crying over. The Samaritan women does not yet experience the need for Jesus as the water of life. She said, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to come back here to draw water again." Wouldn't it be great if you could have a bottle of miracle water and you never have to have water again? She banters with Jesus. It's like a little soft jab. But she's not being disrespectful. She started getting interested. She must know that she is speaking about something different. He's speaking about something different, something better that she does not have in her life. Never in her life has she ever been in the presence of someone whose love for people and for her was pure and holy as that of Jesus. The conversation now changes. It takes a different turn. Jesus takes over here. He asks the woman to call her husband. She says she has no husband. Jesus tells her that she is telling the truth when she says no husband. She has actually had 5 husbands, and the man she was living is not her husband. Imagine being in the presence of someone who knows your life even though you have never met this person before. Imagine having a Savior who knows everything that you ever did in your life. Every bad word you ever spoke. Every anger moment. Every greed thought. Every failure to show kindness and love. Every evil, lustful thought that could ever enter in your mind. Psalm 139 says of the Lord, "He is thoroughly acquainted with all your ways." Jesus took the lid off her stinking mess of sin. I am holding in my hand a jar. I can have something very smelly out of this jar. If it's set somewhere where it shouldn't, in the heat, or in one day of Oklahoma summer in August. But will I smell this? No, not until I take the lid off and then get away from it. Jesus took the lid off this woman's life, and then he showed her her stinky life pretty much. It's just like you open, I'm sure you have all been in college, you had roommates, you opened the fridge, and there's something in there that's been in there for, I think, months, like a gallon of milk. And you open that pan, and you better get away from it. Nobody smells how bad we are. We deceive ourselves, but the truth is not in us. We have just confessed that a few minutes ago. We may even try to do good with the false hope that we can keep sin sealed and away from God. But Jesus knows. That is why he invites us to come to him. That is why he spent time with this woman at the well, even though he was tired, even though he was hungry, even though he was exhausted. He wanted the lid taken off of her sin so she would see how awful she was and how much she needed him for salvation. As we sin into him, "Foul and am full of sin I am. I am all unrighteousness." You see, you have to take the lid off to let people know that they stink, but in a loving way, in a very loving way. The first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, he said, "You have to preach people to hell in order for them to come to know Jesus Christ. You have to preach people to hell and show them their sin in order for them to long for the gospel. And that is our Lutheran, that is our Lutheran confession also. That is our Lutheran belief. That law and gospel, they have to be hand in hand. They have to be equal. You can't just sugarcoat stuff. Not at all. You gotta tell people who they are. In love, of course. You gotta preach Christ to them. And at the same time, you gotta show them their sin. So they can see their face in the mirror and then come to know Christ. Not only come to know Christ, as I shared with you, I think the last sermon is run towards Christ. The woman senses that Jesus is a great prophet. How else would he know about the terrible life she had been living? It puzzles me that she asked a religious question about the right place to worship, especially after her sin has been exposed and the stench has been revealed. But then, how often don't people want to steer conversation away from themselves when it comes to religion and talk about religious questions and do not involve themselves? Notice what Jesus does. He does not say to her, "Listen, woman, bonehead, I am talking to you about your problem." That's not what he said. That's why I'm saying talk to people about their sin in love. He uses her question to draw her closer to himself. He tells about salvation being from the Jews and a time when people will worship in spirit and in truth. The sacrifices in Jerusalem pointed to the great sacrifice for sin that would take place in Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. She hears words about worshiping in spirit and truth. She confesses to a longing in her heart. "I know," she said, "the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared to her, "I who speak to you, am he." And you know the rest of the story. You know how she ran into town and then told people, "Come and see the man who knew everything about me. Come and see the Messiah, our Savior, the Lamb of God, the water of life." As we sing in the hymn, "I came to Jesus and I drank of that living, giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and then how I live in him." Notice that this woman, she came to the well with a jar in her hand to draw water and take it home. She didn't take that jar back with her when she left. You know why? Because she no longer needed the ordinary water that comes out of that well. She got the extraordinary water, the living water that Jesus has given her. And that he is giving you today and each and every day. And you know what she did? When she ran to town, the first thing came out of her mouth was, "Come and see. Come and see what Jesus did in my life. Come and see what this Messiah has told me." That should be our witness as well, as people sitting in these pews coming to church. When we leave these doors, we tell people, "Come and see what Christ has done in my life." Amen. Now, my Jesus, now the grace of God the Father, the love of the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.